I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Coming up later in the hour, we're going to talk with St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture reporters about what they think were the top stories that they covered over the last year. And now in this month's Soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we're going to whet our appetites with the 11 best new restaurants of 2015. And here with that, please welcome Sauce editors Heather Hughes and Catherine Claney and art director Mira Nagarajan. Welcome to you all.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi there.
Heather, 11. Why 11?
Well, we didn't have a set number going in. We decided to let the restaurants tell us how many were the best. We ended up with 11 that really impressed us the most.
I guess you just all had to agree with it.
We did, right? Which was difficult.
Yeah, I heard about that. What about that, Mira? I heard this whole experience was not without conflict.
No, well, you know, we get this question all the time. Where should I go out for dinner? Where should I go out to eat? So this was an answer to that question. And, you know, we usually don't rank, but this for this particular story, we wanted to rank them. And it made us be a little bit more deliberate in our choices. And we came up with criteria to help guide us.
Yeah, let me ask you about that in just a second. But before we go any further, Catherine, it was the three of you and I think two other staffers that did all this.
It was the three of us and our staff writer, Kristen, and a contributing editor, Roseanne. And we basically ate out. We've been eating at places all year. And then we went out and tested different places that we thought were contenders. And then basically had conversations in the office about who we thought should make it and why. And we advocated for people that we felt strongly for and got in fights about people. And
well, it's not an exact science, is it?
No.
No, not at all. And, you know, different people will have different experiences based on when you go and what meal you have and what dishes are available that day. And so it wasn't just limited to one visit. Several of us went to a lot of, you know, restaurants. And so we would each talk about our experiences and come up with a really good argument for why they should be on the list.
I wonder how many restaurants you probably don't even know. How many restaurants in the metro area, new ones, would open in a year? Any guess?
We were talking about that, and we do a hit list segment every month of the best new restaurants that open that month, and we were thinking it has to have been close to 100, if not over, that we've tried just covering everything new that opens for the blog and for print. So it's quite a number.
So you ended up choosing what you have determined to be the 11 best new restaurants, and you had certain criteria. What about geographically? Just the metro area in general? Is that how you looked at it?
Well, we stuck to our general coverage area that we do for the regular print issue, so that didn't change. But we did try to make sure that the restaurants had been open for a full year. So we started by looking at restaurants that opened after November 1st, 2014, up until November 15th, 2015. And then one of the criteria that I really liked was the majority of what we ate and drank had to be delicious, but also had to be memorable. It had to be something that you thought about later and, you know, wanted to get again, which was another criteria. Do you want to go back to that place?
Does that mean, is there always have to be something new?
I don't think it always has to be something new, but I do think that, you know, one thing we did look for was execution and demonstrating skill and consistency. So if they did do stuff that was new all the time, like, was it consistently good even though they were different things?
Right. And then it's more than just about what's on – I mean, what's on the plate is awfully important, but it's more than that.
Yeah. Atmosphere, service came into it a bit. The food is the most important thing, but we're looking at restaurants as a whole, which involves the whole experience.
Uh-huh. And, you know, you mentioned something about going back more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some places that all it takes is one time and you know it's there?
First impressions are definitely important, but I think, again, it goes back to consistency and execution. So we want to go back and make sure that just because we had one phenomenal experience, it wasn't an out-of-the-ordinary thing. We want to go back and make sure that that experience can be repeated.
Sounds like a tough job.
A fun one.
Tongue-in-cheek. I mean, that's so we have 11. Are they in any particular order?
Yes, they are. And we ranked them according to the list of kind of qualifications that we had. And whoever met those qualifications the best ranked higher. And that's where a lot of the debates came in.
At one point, we had a table of Post-it notes with everyone's name, and we were rearranging them in as many different combinations as we felt were appropriate.
Some people were removing Post-its,
disposing
of them.
Is everyone still speaking?
Yes.
Yes. Ultimately, we were all satisfied with our decisions and the order that we ranked them in, and I think that was the sign that it was a solid list.
All right. Well, let's get to that then. What was the best new restaurant in St. Louis in 2015?
I'll speak to that because I wrote that segment. Publico, Mike Randolph's new restaurant.
That's like Mexican, South American?
South American and Mexican. It is flawless is the word that comes to mind. You go in there and the decor is beautiful. The service is perfect. The GM, Jack Noaker, notably, like, he's the best GM I've ever met. He makes your whole experience calm and welcoming, and especially for something that's really new to St. Louis. We don't have a restaurant like that. The service can make you feel comfortable to try new things, go out of your comfort zone, and the food is spectacular.
You also mentioned, I guess, the owner chef, which is Mike Randolph, and they call him Coach. So
they do.
A lot of teamwork, I guess?
Yes, I think that's really important for him. I spoke with him writing this, and that came up again and again. He kept saying, you can't teach attitude. He'll take anybody who has a good attitude, and he can teach them how to cook.
Well, you say it's different. What's so different about it?
Well, the South American influences in the cuisine. It's also, it's most of the food is cooked on a wood fire, which is really difficult. And the variety that you get is really good. There's a lot of seafood, the spices. It's delightful.
Did you guys want to comment on this one too? Or?
I love Publico. I went a few times when they first opened, and I've been back since then. And one of the most memorable dishes that I had when I was there was a beet dish with a white chocolate mole and crispy quinoa. And the stuff that they did with the vegetables themselves I thought was really thoughtful and executed beautifully, and it was delicious.
I think, too, that just the wood-fired cooking is something that's – I mean, if people have tried to grill on their backyard in a very controlled environment, and that's tricky to do. He's using a fire that he's constantly stoking with wood, and that's very tricky to maintain a constant temperature and to turn out delicate temperamental things like whole fish or octopus. That's very, very tricky to do.
So Publico, according to Sauce Magazine, is the number one new restaurant in 2015. And where is that?
It's in the Loop. It's on Del Mar.
All right. Let's move on. Were there any surprises at any of the restaurants, anything that just really grabbed you or got your attention, things you weren't expecting?
Yes. One of the things that surprised us was the living room in Maplewood. We went in not knowing very much about it at all. It's not restaurant people didn't open it. It's a family thing. And we came in with no expectations.
And it's daytime only, right?
Yeah. Breakfast, lunch. So we went in with no expectations. It was on the long list. I kind of honestly thought we could cross it off. And then we went in and was like, oh, they're using meat from Bolliards. Oh, my gosh, they make their own coffee. It's all pour overs. Everything impressed us. They make their own bread. They make their own yogurt. And it's all done very well. We were very surprised by that and pleasantly.
I think Barry Larson there is a self-taught baker. Self-taught?
He is. Well, Barry Larson is the owner, and his son, Nate, is the one who developed the whole menu. Yeah, self-taught. And just
and really good. At
really good.
Really
yeah,
good.
The scones are perfect.
They make house-made jams, too, to go with the scones. And we had one of the things that I had was the workday sandwich, which is on a baguette that they make with a soft-boiled egg, bacon, and cheese. And it's simple, but it's very, very good.
So lunch and breakfast items primarily.
Yes.
That kind of thing, right? Other restaurants that surprised you, Mira?
Well, Union Loafers Cafe and Bread Bakery is It came as a surprise because of we were expecting great bread. And Ted Wilson was the original pizzaiolo at the Good Pie, which is another Mike Randolph restaurant, which morphed into Randolphy's, which is also on the list. But we'd had Ted Wilson's bread numerous times. And what surprised us, I think, was how wonderful the menu turned out, the sandwiches. They have a turkey sandwich that's delicious, and they are making all their condiments, and they're making all their pickles, and all the small components that make dishes really great are made there. And so they're able to control all those different elements. Also, they have a Little Gem salad, which is one of the best salads I have ever, ever had.
Well, what is it? Describe it.
It's Little Gem lettuce, and it's got this dressing on it that's it's like a creamy dressing. Buttermilk dressing. It's got shallots and crispy sourdough breadcrumbs on top.
Is that lunch only also? Union Loafers?
Currently. They just got their liquor license, so they'll be opening up at night soon. We don't know when.
All right, very good. Well, we've got some more to look at. We're discussing Sauce Magazine's picks for the top new restaurants of 2015, and we'll pick up on this conversation when we come back. You're listening to St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Steve Potter, and welcome back to Cityscape. This is our monthly segment with Sauce Magazine. It's Soundbites, and Sauce has identified the 11 best new restaurants in St. Louis for 2015. We're talking that over with managing editors Heather Hughes and Catherine Claney, and with art director Mira Nagarajan. And just to recap real briefly, we've named some of the restaurants already that you've identified. But they had to be restaurants open for a full year. They had to be unique. Atmosphere was important. Service, go ahead.
Sorry, it's actually not restaurants that were open for a full year. It had to be restaurants that opened between November 1st, 2014 to November 15th, 2015.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Atmosphere was important. Service was important. And one element that you all had to agree on was, you know, how bad did you want to go back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And you visited a bunch of them. Let's go on. What about barbecue places? It seems like I've seen a lot of new ones
There's
lately.
A lot of new barbecue places that have opened up in the last year, and two really stuck out to us. One is Beast Craft Barbecue, which is located in Belleville. They opened in December 2014 in a former Hi-Ho diner. And it is definitely worth the drive for Missourians to head over and check it out. Owner David Sandusky is a phenomenal pitmaster. He definitely knows what he's doing with barbecue, but he also spent years in fine dining. So he has exceptional sides, garlic kale, phenomenally cooked Brussels sprouts. And there's a lot of fresh vegetables on those menus that surprised us. The atmosphere is very relaxed. It's very chill. The menu is handwritten, posted behind the counter. Everything's served on aluminum trays. It's just very relaxed, but very, very good barbecue.
But didn't your article talk about how, like, they sell out really early?
They do. So that's the thing. If you're coming from Missouri, you need to say you have a dentist appointment at 4 o'clock and leave early and get over the river because you don't want to miss out on the inch-and-a-half thick pork steak that's smoked for hours all day. The burnt ends, which are my personal favorite, are just these huge hunks of delicious beef. They're phenomenal. But you have to get there early because they will sell out and you can't miss out on that.
Well, how early do you need to get there by?
Oh, I think he said they've sold out by 6 p.m., 7 p.m. before on the pork steak. So it really depends on the day. If you're going to go on a weeknight, you might have a little more luck getting there around 6 or 7. But you don't want to get there at 9 o'clock and expect to get anything that's in high demand.
I see. And there was another barbecue place you
There
mentioned?
Is. Daly's Smokehouse in Valley Park. And actually, the reason this place stuck out to us is we knew the barbecue was going to be good. This is owned by Mike Emerson and Skip Steele of Pappy's Smokehouse and Barbecue and Bogart Smokehouses. What we didn't know was that they could make such great sandwiches. They have two phenomenal sandwiches there that really stuck out. Their Cuban, which has Pappy's pulled pork and their shaved ham, pickles and mustards, probably one of the best Cubans we've ever had. And then the Ultimate Reuben uses two kinds of house-made pastrami, beef pastrami and pork pastrami. And they're just mountain sandwiches. They're huge. And then the sides really stuck out to us. They do have fire and ice pickles, which are sweet and sour. And then you can get them deep fried, which you should because they're addictive. And then the staff is just a really great team. They're as charming as Mike Emerson, and if you've been to Pappy's, you've probably met him, and he is as kind and generous a person as the rest of his team.
Barbecue seems to have come a long way. It seems like at one time all barbecue seemed the same to me, and now it sure is not.
You can definitely tell who puts the time and the effort into their fire and their meat and who maybe is cutting corners. And there's definitely some good ones that have risen to the top.
All right. Well, looking over the 11 restaurants that you chose, maybe would you share some of your favorite dishes that just stick out in your mind? Just pick one. I don't know.
Okay. That's such a hard question. Several come to mind, including everything I ate at Reed's American Table last weekend. It's hard. But for me, I think Michael Renner, our reviewer, chose his top five best dishes of the year. And I do not disagree that the cast iron skillet seared diver scallops at J. MacArthur's are fantastic.
That's a real farm-to-table place, right?
It is. The farms are all listed on the menu. The menu rotates very quickly because they literally go week to week what they get in and what they cook with. But that dish in particular is delicious. However, personally, the office told me I had to say that my favorite dish was the farmhouse burger at Retreat Gastropub because I won't shut up about it.
Well, I think the word you used in the copy was addictive.
Yes. I have been back several times. And the one time that I went to Retreat and ordered something else, the owner, Travis Howard, dropped it off at my table and said, "This doesn't look like the farmhouse burger." It's a little embarrassing.
So what is it about it?
So it's two beef patties that are smashed. So they're kind of crispy, but done very well, not dry, not overdone. It's topped with a cheese sauce, which is very good, and candied bacon and a sunny side up egg. And it's all on a bun from Companion that's sort of like an English muffin. It's so good.
Okay, I'll try one.
Okay, you should.
Catherine, what comes to mind to you?
For me, it's the hot chicken at Southern, which is the Nashville fried chicken joint that Rick Lewis opened up next door to Pappy's this year. It is the best fried chicken I've ever had.
Because it's not the traditional buttermilk thing.
It's brined in a different thing, but it's spicy. And the thing about Nashville hot chicken is it's fried chicken that's essentially dunked in a spicy hot oil right at the end. And Rick has basically a four-layer multi-heat experience. He brines it in a beer and lemon juice and vinegar. It's sort of an acidic brine for a few hours. Then he dry rubs it with another layer of heat. Then it gets dredged in more heat, fried, and dipped in a hot oil. So you take a bite, and it's actually not that bad. You think you're going to be just fine. And then this heat just sneak attacks on the back of your palate and doesn't leave. And the only way you can prevent it is to take another bite.
And what do you do to treat the heat?
You get the mac and cheese because that cuts through it a little bit. Uh-huh. If necessary, you can go beg Rick for a glass of milk if you just can't take it anymore. It's not only is it hot and it's not like hot wings. It's a very subtle, well done heat. And it's also just really well prepared fried chicken. It's that chicken where you take a bite and the whole thing doesn't just slide off and mm-hmm. all you've got left is naked bird. You take a bite and that skin adheres to it very well. It's punishing and you just can't quit it. And starting today, it's finally open for dinner on Fridays and Saturdays until 7 p.m. or until they run out.
Mira, your favorite dish?
It has to be the white bolognese at Randolphi's.
Sure what that is.
It's at Randolphi's, which is a few steps away from Publico. And it's a sauce made with pork, pancetta, liver, and I think there's some heavy cream in there because it's very decadent. And they toss it with their house-made pappardelle noodles, which is sort of like a super-duper wide fettuccine noodle, and it's very chewy, and the sauce just clings to it. And it's very, very flavorful and warming and rich, and it's kind of one of those winter dishes that it just makes you feel really good. And they top it with a cured egg yolk, which they brine. They take an egg yolk and they crack it into a saline solution. And it sits in there for a couple of hours. And when you break into it, it releases this like silky texture yolk.
When we were talking about the criteria, you mentioned how important staff is, whether it's bartending staff or the wait staff. So did anyone in particular stand out in that category?
I actually think at Reed's, yeah. I had an excellent experience at Reed's. There was a waitress in particular named Tasha who took care of me. She's been there ever since the very beginning when they first opened, and I've been a few times, and she always sees me and she remembers my name, and she has great recommendations and offers what the specials are, and she gives you the truth. She'll be like, "This is brand new, right? Like, we just started this today, so you may not like it that much, but it's going to get better." I mean, she just keeps it very honest, and every experience I've had there with her has been excellent.
I think that's something when I talked to chef owner Matt Doaday there, that was the thing for him, is making sure that his team is well informed across the board about what they're doing and that they all feel like they have a sense of ownership in that meal.
We've been talking with Catherine Claney, Heather Hughes, and Mira Nagarajan about the 11 best restaurants in St. Louis for the last year. They identified it. That's in this month's Sauce Magazine. And just in conclusion, I know you're really curious about feedback from the public, and you want them to vote. What's all that about?
We have a Facebook poll going on right now for our People's Choice Award. They can vote in our Facebook album, facebook.com/Sauce Magazine. Go to photos, click on the restaurant that you think is the best of this year. The restaurant with the most likes on December 21st will be the People's Choice winner.
Catherine, Heather, Mira, thank you all for being here. Bon appetit, I guess, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Coming up next on Cityscape, St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture reporters will share their top stories of the year. This is St. Louis Public Radio.